Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
Let's get out to the phone lines. Joe is in Hiram. What's up, Joe?
Thanks for taking my call. Hugh, I moved to Atlanta from Philadelphia. I'm a huge fan. I love listening to you every day, man.
Well, I ain't Hugh, so obviously you don't listen enough.
We'll tell him. We'll let you know. We'll pass that along.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Randy got hot.
I'm sorry. That just makes me laugh. Randy, I hear you, bro.
Randy was having none of that.
He put him in his place, though, didn't he?
I'm not you.
It's Dukes and Bell, man. We're having fun. We hope you guys are. Soul Edge, that's his nickname or his Twitter handle, says, Dukes and Bell, along those lines, who would play the both of you if you did a movie about the show? I just was like, Donald Glover? trying to live up to it.
Shoot. I always go with Chandler, and Matthew Perry's gotten fat, so that'd be perfect. I think Matthew Perry would be perfect to play me because he's a hot mess now.
Just give me one of the brothers off of Atlanta, the TV show, all right? I mean, it could be Lakeith Stanfield. He's brilliant, by the way, in the movie is up for Academy Awards. I'm trying to think. He was just I just saw it probably about a few weeks ago. I was trying to – I think I told you guys about it, Mike. The Oscar-nominated, he's in it with Kahlua. Oh, jeez. About the Chicago
– Yes, about the Chicago 7.
No, not the 7. It's – oh, Black Messiah is the movie.
Oh,
Judas, Judas and the Black Messiah. He's in that, and he's really amazing in that movie. But, yeah, man, I don't know. Guys, listen, you tell us. Bo asked the question about – if there was a movie made because the Sean Payton thing and we were talking about Kevin James, and he said, you know, the Super Bowl experience, who would play Matt Ryan and who would play Dan Quinn? Jay Hughes says, what about Stone Cold Steve Austin playing Dan Quinn?
Let me tell you something, brother. We got the brotherhood here, brother. And I mean, you know, we got imagine Steve Austin throwing out all of Dan's cliches. Iron sharpens iron, brother.
It would be funny.
Jolene.
All right.
Yeah, man. But by the way, Mike, a couple guys, real quick, we will do that for Game Winner tonight. Cast the movie, okay? We'll make it 16, the Super Bowl choke and everything, because it's, you know, it's easy. But a lot of guys say Michael Rooker, Carl. Oh, of course, Merle, who obviously what's his character in Guardians of the Galaxy? Zandu?
Zandu, yeah.
Yeah, with the big with the big thing on his noggin. So anyway, yeah, Michael Rooker could be a Dan Quinn for sure.
One guy also said
Yondu. I said Zandu. Yondu. Another guy said bald Travolta. Now that Travolta's let it rip, that he's all bald. You know, I could see him doing that,
too. He cut all his hair off, didn't he? I saw that recently. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, again, I don't know if he never worked with Dr. Daniel, who did my lid, but he had some strange things going on there the last 10 or 15 years, so maybe it was time to just pull the plug.
By the way, how's the hair, man? I mean, seriously, I haven't seen you up close in, like, 4 weeks.
Check it out, man. I had a short haircut a few weeks back. Next, it's all growing out. Look at the luxuriantness, Carl, if you're on Twitch right now.
It does look good. No, for real. It does. Because I know, listen, when people, guys ask me about this, and I'm not making this up, Mike. It's Dukes and Bell. Guys go, say, man, I heard Mike got hair. And I'm like, yeah, he got the hair. And they go, is it real? And I'm like, yes. Because again, you know, they haven't had a chance to see us out and about. But yeah,
and
man, it looks
and
good.
When you're in the car, I think they still have our pit boss pictures when you
they
punch
do.
Up Dukes and Bell.
Bald. Yeah.
And by the way, real quick, can we talk about it, man?
Okay.
Our old boss had this thing for everybody in suits. I go, when are we ever, you and I ever gonna wear a freaking suit? You know? Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
Last time was a funeral for me, but yeah.
Right. I mean, exactly. A court appearance for me. I mean, that's the last time I wore a suit. I just think, but he had a thing for us in those suits. I mean, a t-shirt, a polo shirt, just regular. But anyway, that picture's like 7 years old of you and me right there.
No, it's true. And I think that's what pops up on the website. Now, I will say this. I was a few pounds lighter, which does help. But
no, I was too. I was too, brother. Yeah. But no, man, anyway, it's not like they put yak hair on you, dude. It's your hair. Hey, real quick, while we're going around about sort of potpourri here, before we get to the dog report in college football, Carl, I got a meme. I saw this. A guy sent this to me on Twitter, so I reacted to it. The Charlotte Hornets and our buddy Willie Pelechik is working in Charlotte right now.
Willie P.
But the Hornets have got the Bridges dunk over Capella. This dunk lives in our heads rent-free. And then they've got all of, again, the obligatory jackass, oh, no, he didn't. Faces from the Hornets bench, including Ball and everybody that I talked about with you on Monday's show. Yeah, so yeah. I hit it back. And again, the ultimate old guy take, but I went there. I said, it's 2 points and you lost, but meme away. And so guys are going in that this is the greatest dunk in the history of the world.
Well,
yeah, okay.
You, so obviously, you don't listen enough.
Well, tell
thank
him.
You, Randy.
Well,
you know. You know. But again, two things I can't stand. The hype of a dunk and then the stupid faces that teammates make as if they've never seen a dunk before. But this dunk apparently exceeds all dunks in the history of the world.
Yeah, you know, and again, I mean, now you got me. I'm sounding like the old, you know, old guy. Because here's the deal. Act like you've been there. Like, I get it. Respect the dunk. It was great. But, mm-hmm. but like, guys jumping around and throwing their hands all over the air. And, you know, you're like, dude, like I said, I felt like the announcer peed himself. You know, now I get it.
Right.
It's a home call. He's supposed to be excited, and he was. But to your point, I mean, guys get dunked on all the time, and you see teammates. You can give that lie like, damn. But when guys just lose their mind, you just wonder, like, okay. I mean, I understand. I do. I get it. I understand why people reacted that way. But you
and
I
also,
we're on a different level with this thing.
And I'm also. Here we go. Also, Carl, what also goes down with this, again, because, again, it's a game they lost that they really needed to win, because
right.
they got some of their stars banged up, and we just leapfrogged them in the standings in the East. And, oh, by the way, no sooner had he hit this, oh, my God, dunk, and while everybody in the Hornets was literally falling over themselves on the bench, right in front of that bench, Bogey goes, boom. 3 points, which, again, is more than two you get for a dunk, and then we're on our way to win the game. But again,
thunderbolt from Bridges. every
just,
time I hear the call,
I don't know.
Man.
I mean, there's things that you and I look. We all have things that turn us on, don't turn us on. I like fast cars. You and I, we like fast cars. We like a good steak, a bottle of wine, a cigar. But a dunk doesn't turn me on anymore. I just don't give a crap. I just don't care. As long as we win the freaking game is all I care about. But I mean, again, I look, guys. I'm not going to pretend.
You know what?
I'm a 52-year-old man child, Carl, and I've done more. I've been around the world, baby.
I've been around the world.
And if you guys want to get snarky with me on Twitter, you go do the things I've done, and you go see the things I've seen, and then you can match it up. And then, yeah, we can compare W-2s. Whoa! But I'm telling you, I could give a crap about a dunk. I want to win the game. I don't care.
I got to be honest with you. And I said this yesterday, or Monday, whenever the hell we talked about it. When I was 15... and I, childhood friends that are still great friends to this day, we would literally be on the phone, okay, prior to cell phones, fool, and talking during a game. And a dunk like that would happen, and we would be screaming on the phone. And bro, oh, my God, did you record that? On the VCR. You got to play that. We got to play that back. And we'd play back dunks. But I was 15.
Right.
I was 16. I mean, now, to your point, I'm looking at the Hawks, and I'm like, I don't care how we win, who wins, who scores. As long as we win, I don't care how the Falcons win, as long as we win, I don't care if somebody has 400 yards on us. If we win the game, you go, tip your cap, great 400-yard game. But
right.
we won. Whatever happened, Mike, and this is what I'm getting to. See, this is completely off. We're off topic completely. But here's what I'm getting to. Whatever happened, America, to winning, to the W being the only thing that matters. It is the only thing that matters. It's not, oh, that was a beautiful pass. Oh, what a thunderous run. He shot it from half court. I don't care. All I care about is winning. And if my team doesn't win, then all that stuff is just, that's secondary.
This team is never winning a Super Bowl with Matt and Julio. Let me say that again.
Chris,
this Falcon team, Chris, that's not germane to this conversation. We're talking about the Hawks here and the Hornets. You know, I'm just, come on. But right, Bridges, I saw it today. I was watching it. I was at the gym, and I saw this. Is Bridges the most violent dunker in the NBA? I don't care. Who cares about these crappy topics they come up with that they scream about on ESPN?
You know who else was a violent dunker? Dwight Howard. And he didn't win anything until he joined LeBron. Okay?
I just don't get it. I don't, like, there's things I dig. Like, again, brother, I'm not telling you how to live your life. I'm going over to Alabama this weekend to watch Indy cars. I like race cars. I like watching a car go by me at 200 miles an hour. A human being taking two steps and dunking a basketball at this point, it doesn't mean crap to me unless it's part of a championship or it's the momentum shifter in a huge game in the playoffs. A regular season game that you went on to lose and you want to sit there and talk about it for 3 days, get out of here with that crap.
Yeah.
Never, ever going to win a Super Bowl. Well, again. Yeah, I mean, okay, Chris, we're talking basketball. You're talking about an oblong spheroid football.
It is Dukes and Bell. All right, this just in. Albert Breer says the Falcons will join the Patriots and the 49ers tomorrow at Ohio State for Justin Fields' second pro day.
They got to be there. You got to be there, Carl.
Falcon fans, I think I just saw our future quarterback.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Dog report, as always. We go on the sidelines with the dogs. Mm. We talk college football, college basketball, but obviously it's springtime, which means G-Day. Right. The spring game is going to happen Saturday. It's brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
Yeah, man, BrightBoxElectrical.com. They do a great job wiring my house. They can do the same thing for you. Any job imaginable with electronics and electrical stuff, them to guys, BrightBoxElectrical.com.
All right, guys. One of the things Kirby Smart is acknowledging is something I've been screaming probably for 3 years now. This goes back to after the Dogs lost the national championship game to Alabama, and then you saw other teams go on to win it, and the one common denominator, LSU, Bama last year. Do you realize Bama averaged 50 a game last year? 50.
Mm.
All these teams score points, but the key is vertical passing game. You hear us talk about Ja'Marr Chase and why he may go as high as he's going to go in the NFL because of the vertical passing game. Guys that can stretch the field, make plays, Mike. That's why Joe Burrow and LSU was so deadly. It's why Devontae Smith just won the Heisman because, again, vertical game. So, Mike, are the Dogs finally going to be able to do this?
Yeah, man. Again, it's funny because I keep seeing his name popping up around the fourth round and fifth round, Jamie Newman. Wish we could have seen him with this vertical offense, but it does seem they've got the right guy now for the job with JT Daniels. We said this yesterday. We just didn't know when the guy was ever healthy. I'm not sure he was actually healthy when he was playing, to be quite honest. He might have a huger upside this year, you know, with another year spent in Athens.
Yeah, so I know that this is probably, you know, something Dog fans, whether either you're tired of hearing about it or maybe you haven't heard about it enough, but I've been screaming it now for a while, and this is why I got excited about Todd Monken, and then guys were like, Monken's not any good, he won't be any good, and then I don't know if last year if I'm willing to give him a pass because, again, new coordinator coming in, and then you don't have a regular offseason. So I kind of go, okay, I want to see what happens this year. And again, no excuses with the injuries, but at G-Day, we're going to get a chance, I think, Mike, to see some of this vertical passing game. And I think it's going to be interesting for Dog fans.
Look, I mean, if you want to share resumes and look at Todd Monken versus what Chaney was, I just thought Chaney wasn't as imaginative. And to be quite honest, Todd Monken wasn't that imaginative, but you just said it. They didn't have the delivery system. You know, you didn't have the quarterback. Stetson Bennett was not the guy to do what he needed to do in some of these things, I believe.
I'm sorry. I just got
going now
back
what?
To it. No, what you said earlier. If you want to pull it out and see who's his bigger and compare resumes, then do it.
You know what I mean? Look, brother, Carl, I've jumped out of an airplane. I've ridden a motorcycle 150 miles an hour. But if you want to say a dunk is the greatest thing, okay. You know? I've seen some things, okay? I've been to South Africa, okay? I've been to Hong Kong, Joe. I was in Tokyo. I've been around the world, but I don't give a crap about a guy in Charlotte dunking a basketball. I just don't.
Been around the world. Let's give you a chance. Let's give you a chance to win some money. Oh, all right. The key word is band. B-A-N-D. B-A-N-D. Band is the word. 72881 is the number you need to text it to for your chance to win $1,000. Message and data rates do apply. Do not text and drive. And remember, all the rules at 929thegame.com/rules. I'm sorry. I'm like a kid. I can't stop giggling about that. It
along
just made me laugh.
Dusty when a mucker rolled. When along came a semi with a high end canvas covered load.
Yeah, I've seen Johnny Cash's house in Jamaica, Carl. You know what I mean? I've been there.
What you're saying is impress me. Impress me. I know. I hear you, man. I hear you. All right, guys, we got plenty more to get to. Hey, Guy Talk is on the way, coming up at 4:40, by the way. We're going to let you hear from Nate McMillan. Hawks back in action tonight. But when we come back, what happened last night? They were in control, and then the bullpen. We'll get into it.
I've been everywhere, man.
I've been everywhere.
Good.
Tonight it's Max Fried on the Hill. We'll go around the yard with the Braves coming up and preview tonight's game. But let's talk about what happened last night here on Dukes and Bell. Braves losing extra innings, guys. And Garrett Cooper had three RBI, drove in the go-ahead run in the 10th inning. Jacob Webb lifting the Marlins to a 5-3 victory. Braves were in control of this game. And Mike and I started off the show by saying, did Snicker pull the trigger on Oscar Yanoa just a little bit early? Because, Mike, he was rolling 10 strikeouts. He had one walk. I just thought he had a rhythm going last night. Right. And I know that's a judgment thing, but then you look at what happened when the bullpen took over.
Right, and it was one thing if you get to that inning where you think, okay, maybe it's time to pull him, but he wasn't up. It wasn't like you had to pinch hit for him, which makes it even, for me, it makes me even more aggravated, right? Because he was rolling. He was at 82 pitches. I mean, Yanoa has showed, again, he's now been asked and tasked with being a starter. So I think we could get to 90. His arm's not going to fall off. My only beef, Cox would leave guys in too long. Snicker pulls him too soon. It drives you crazy. 82 pitches, 55 strikes. The guy, as you said it, Carl, he'd only given up 3 hits through 6. So let him pitch another inning. Luke Jackson, by the way, can't argue about anything last night. Did a nice job. Oh, it did allow a hit, but Minter and Jones were hot garbage. And then Will Smith is still making you a little nervous, but the stupid rule with the man on second, and we made it easy for him there with Webb.
So tonight, by the way, lineup change. Acuna's still leading off, but you got Freddie hitting in the two-hole. Ozuna 3, Darno cleanup. Albies 5, Dansby 6. Adoranza is playing tonight. He's playing third base. He will hit 7th, and then Christian Pache in center field is hitting 8th. Followed again by Max Fried.
Because Freddie was sitting there on the on-deck circle with not even a bat in his hand last night. You see that?
I know.
Because the game was either going to end one way or the other.
So, again, when you talk about Acuna at the top of the lineup, and I know Mike and I and many people have discussed this, I've liked this move from the jump. I think he sets the table for you. And, you know, it's one of those deals. First pitch fastball, he may take you deep and you're on the board. But not only that, once he gets on the base path, you guys realize how dangerous he is. So, I still like, with this lineup that we have, I still like Acuna leading off. And I know people have said, you know, why doesn't he hit cleanup? But I think right now Snit's just trying to find some rhythm for some guys, including Marcelo Ozuna, right. Mike.
And again, so Freddie again, guys, excuse me, moving up to second in the order. Albies dropped, as you mentioned, to 5th. And again, if you didn't see it last night, Marcelo Ozuna, I mean, he's just playing struggling right now, Carl. And I mean, there came with some high stuff that at first it looked like he was kind of letting, you know, wasn't trying to be too over aggressive, but they came with some inside stuff he couldn't lay off last night. So he's off to a terrible start. And then you throw in the defensive, you know, not gaffes because we had the guy out. We already, you know, talked about what happened against the Phillies. But yeah, he's off to a brutal start. What ticked me off last night was, and maybe, Carl, the bigger inning, things continue to go your way, you're not in that situation, is that the base running error by the Panda.
Yeah.
There's no reason to be between second and third when the ball's out towards the warning track. You got to go to second base. I mean, look, we love the guy, and he's had two huge pinch hits, but that was just plain dumb.
The irony of us talking about this lineup and me talking about Acuna today, Brian Snicker literally just said today at the ballpark, with the Braves struggling offense, Freddie was moved back from third to second in the order tonight. Third is where he hit for last year, obviously, most of his career, but that's been the MVP season is where he hit third. This was more about Albies. And so Snit was asked about Acuna, and he said, I won't move Acuna. I'm done with that. So Acuna's your leadoff guy. I mean, right. we can discuss it and talk about what.
We've always thought at some point he's going to matriculate to cleanup, but they, you know, they're not going to buck. So what do you like that? You agree?
Oh, yeah. That's what I was just saying, Mike. Yeah. I was talking about Acuña being there. Well, from the jump, I always thought this was a good spot for him. He just put so much pressure on the opposing pitcher to start a game. And then he's getting more at-bats because he's at the top of the lineup. So, you know, I mean, that's the other point of this. And then Freddie, too, may get some more looks being moved up. I don't foresee Freddie being there forever, but if this is going to get some guys going. But he said slumping Albies, and again, I'm paraphrasing here, is dropped from second to fifth. So, but moving Acuña is out of the question. He's not going to do it.
And again, you know, this lineup, it's just been a brutal start. We've talked about it. I mean, three runs. This was one where if you don't, you know, again, the big inning, you know, I mentioned the Sandoval base running blunder, but still, you had what in this game? They had four hits. Yikes.
I know.
I mean, it's just at some point we just feel this offense is going to explode, and we saw more offense earlier in the series against the Phillies, but still, it's just. Let's hope that Freddie moving up to second gives them some kind of a spark and gets them rolling. Because, as you said, Albie's batting 128 right now. Azuna batting 139. Dansby, by the way, batting 189.
Oh, I know. Listen, outside of your leadoff hitter right now, 2-6 has been terrible. Plain and simple.
Austin Riley is batting 188.
Plain and simple.
The two really dumb things that happened last night is the Pablo Sandoval base running blunder, and then a double play on a fly. The other thing was the ridiculous bunt attempt from Ender Inciarte. It's one thing, Coro, if you can't bat your weight, you've got to be able to at least, if you're going to be batting at the bottom of the lineup, move a runner over. You can't even do that.
Yeah, the fundamentals of the game, right? I mean, just the basics, you would hope that those things be executed. Acuña, by the way, tripled, scored two runs. He just continues to remain hot. And I said it yesterday, coming into last night, he was hitting .444. So average continues to go up. Will he cool off? Yes, I hope he doesn't. But we all know, if you watch baseball, that you know, it's unlikely he's going to hit .440 for the rest of the season. But we need some help, and we need the guys that we rely on to start coming through in this lineup, and that's kind of why this lineup change is a big deal today. It's Dukes and Bell. You guys agree with it? You like it? Do you think Acuña should be hitting in the middle of the lineup and maybe moving, you know, Albies to the top of the order? Snit does not seem like he wants to do that, and that's, again, these are changes that he's making today. 404-741-0929, that's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can text us as well and let us know what you think. And by the way, it's not – this is a small, super small sample space of the rest of the season. You know, we're 10 games in. What are we, 10 or 12 games in? This is a small sample space. I always say this every year, and I'll just repeat it for those who are new to the show or just joining us. Give me to July. I'll tell you exactly what our team is. July 1st, I'll know. But right now, it's so hard to say, all right, this guy out of the bullpen is not a guy I can count on, or this guy is slumping, and is it just that, and he's not going to hit his way out of it? We got to give these guys time.
Well, that's
the crazy thing.
We talked about Shane Green, and I was like, okay, I wasn't that upset about it because he kind of never established himself as the closer, which is initially why Shane Green was brought here. Then Melanson took over that role. Melanson didn't want to stick, as we talked about earlier, Carl. Right, he built that nice hacienda in Mexico, so San Diego's a logical spot. He's doing a good job for them. But Minter, and last night, it just simply Minter didn't have it. I mean, Minter gave us three of the best innings of his life in the NLCS. And now, you know, last night, you saw it. I mean, as soon as he came out, Minter just did not have control. Jones didn't have control. The only guy worse was the Marlins, who is it? Simber comes in and he plunks two guys in a row.
Yeah.
And by the way, how do you get two hit batsmen and you get no runs out of that?
I know.
I mean, that irked me. You said it. The game was flying until the game became watching paint dry.
It was. Mike, I looked up. It wasn't even 9:30, and I'm like, this game's going to be over. It may have been 8:30. Seriously, maybe it was 8:45 when I looked at my watch. And I realized, you know, had already gone through six innings. I was like, this thing's going to be over by 9:30. The game went to like 10:45.
It never ended. I know.
You know? It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Another story we're watching. We got some guy talk coming up. Falcon Report's on the way. If you missed Jonathan Bullard, a Florida product, he's now a part of our defensive line and a really nice guy, man. Hopefully he can come in here, add some depth, and help us and continue to, you know, to help this defense get better. He said he really hasn't talked to anybody, doesn't know about the expectations. Falcon Report will dive into the Falcons going to Justin Fields' second pro day. But, Mike, the NFL sent out a memo to the teams today, encouraging all players and personnel to get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Team facilities were safest place to be in the community. NFL believes it'll make it even safer and help return to normalcy. So you see this push. Earlier today, Mike and I talked about it in our NFL Blitz. Buffalo Bills are saying, if you want to come in the stadium, you got to be vaccinated. So for Bills fans, they're putting the onus on, hey, we want you to be here, but this is how we're going to operate. And I said to Mike, I don't know if this is what more NFL teams are going to do, but today, memo sent out by the league, encouraging players and personnel across the league to get vaccinated, saying right. It's going to help us get back to being normal and no testing or having to wear a mask or tracking device at the facilities.
And again, you know, we said this earlier, it's just human nature. Even if the odds are 1 in 7 million, as far as like the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, the blood clot issue that's apparently cropped up with 6 people, I mean, it's still people hear that, athletes hear that stuff, their family people are in their ear, and maybe not everyone is sold with the vaccination, which is, again, it's terrible. We thought we'd be so far down the road, but you cannot make people do this. I mean, we heard about, as you said, Buffalo is going to say the only way you get to attend is you're going to have the card that says you got the shot. And then again, nowadays, how many times you and I talked about this the last, what, now 15 months? Nobody believes anything they read. Right? Everybody, well, what's the source of that? What's the agenda? What network said it? It's crazy. We thought we'd be coming out the other end, and there's still a lot of stuff that has people scratching their heads. And I got to be honest, do you correlate last year's lack of a regular offseason with all the injuries we saw?
Yeah, not only that. I think early in the season the play was lackluster across
the board. Star players were busting up left and right last year in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, and you know, we talk about this all the time. We talked about it a few years ago with Julio Jones. The offseason matters. If it didn't, they wouldn't do it. So now you see players and teams coming out collectively and saying, hey, how do you want to do the offseason? Oh, I want to be virtual. That's all fine and dandy. At some point, you got to get on the field. You got to do the work. You got to practice. And I know guys, oh, I'm a vet. I don't need that. I'm with you, Mike. There are a lot of things that happened last year that kind of opened your eyes and said, okay, some of this is necessary. It is Dukes and Bell. One other thing about these vaccinations, the PGA Tour has come out, Mike, and also said all the golfers who have been vaccinated, fully vaccinated, will not require any testing moving forward. So you just play your tournaments and do what you do. And I think that all these leagues are going to be pressing their individuals and their teams and organizations to do this. All right, man. We got plenty more to get to, including some guy talk.
Yeah, man. A dude made Good Morning America national news. He really did make it really difficult, Carl, for guys that are about to get engaged. Because this playboy went next level here in the A when he popped the question. We'll explain that. And the governor of New York, we've often made fun of his brother Chris as being Fredo. Apparently the governor refers to himself as Sonny Corleone for you Godfather fans. It's on the... Yeah, man. Busy day, as Carl said. A lot of stuff already happening here on Dukes of Bell. Don't forget Odyssey.com. You can rewind and catch our conversation with Steve Weiss about what the Falcons are going to do. And we also talked to a new Falcon. More about that coming up in the Falcon Report at 5. Hey, man, the report brought to you by our buddies at Hoots Wings. Carl, 3 locations around Metro Atlanta. They got our Hey Man Ale at all 3. So go get your wings, get your chicken sandwiches and your buffalo shrimp and everything. Go to HootsWings.com. All right, you and I like to think of ourselves as pretty romantic when we pop the question to our prospective wives. But listen to what this cat did here in the A. A guy, Carl, last week it went down and made national news, decides to land in a helicopter at the Park Pavilion building. You familiar with that? Overlooking Centennial Olympic Park?
Yeah, that's big.
They do a lot of venues. Well, that's where William Hun, two N's, and his then, before she knew it at the time, girlfriend, Brittany Miller, later to be his fiance, they land on the building's helipad. And as soon as they get out, family and friends were there to witness the emotional moment that he pops the question. But in addition to having everybody there, you know, waiting for them, arriving in a helicopter, and Instagram, of course, recording, he says, I have to have you. I really do. Brittany and Michelle Miller, will you marry me? Playboy then pulls out a display with 5 different rings for her to choose from.
What? 5?
So how about that?
Now, you said his name is William Hun.
Not William Hung. Not the guy that was like, she bang.
Yeah, no, okay. I want to make sure.
Not the horrible first American Idol. This guy kind of looks like a John Legend wannabe. But anyway, I'm not sure what Mr. Hun does for a living, but mazel tov, Mr. Hun. What a job. WSB Channel 2 has got the article as well, but it made national news. She, of course, said, I do.
Duh.
He then pulled out the display and said, you can try all 5 or pick 1.
You know what? It's not flossing if you got it like that. I mean, God, that's big time right there.
No, that's, I mean, as I said, you know, I thought I kind of, you know, I took my wife and we were in Vegas at the time and we were not, you know, engaged yet. And we flew into the Grand Canyon in a helicopter, landed in the Grand Canyon. I popped the question. But I mean, this cat, that's next level right there, man. Five rings. I mean, that's a gangster move. So what do you think she took the most expensive ring or the one that had the biggest rock?
That's the thing. I mean, you know, listen, all women are different. Some women, I don't want a big ring. All women say that, but don't they? I don't want a big ring. And some women don't. And I will say that my guess is, Mike, she tried all five on.
Right.
Just to see which one looked the best.
The weekend you and I were out in Vegas for a fight, remember Becky was not happy because Tony the Mailman came out and Oliver, all my cronies, all my boys came out. That's the weekend she went to D. Geller and goes, I think I'm going to upsize my ring.
Oh, I remember.
So remember that? Remember that?
Yeah, I do. Because you and I were together and you were like, I can't believe this. And I was like, what's going on? Becky's at D. Geller. And I was like, why? What's happening? And I thought something had broke. Maybe a watch was getting fixed.
No.
She was upgrading.
No, she was, I went to get my ring cleaned. And then Heather over there, why I ought to. And then next thing you know, luckily that weekend I nailed it at the craps table. You and I had a good weekend. That's also the weekend I think we hit the Kentucky Derby.
Kentucky Derby, we sure did.
But anyway, so anyway, Mr. Hunt,
good
nice
memories,
job.
Good memories, Mike. Good memories.
Yes. You know what? You know how Facebook will hit you back and tell you on this date, ... it was a date that you and I killed it at the craps table with the dudes from L.A. And I went and I bought the Guns N' Roses tickets.
The tough-looking dudes?
The dude wouldn't let me leave the table. Yeah, didn't know what these guys. It was a fight weekend. I don't know what these guys were doing.
Tough-looking guys,
I mean,
man.
But they wouldn't let me leave the table. And again, you don't want to sit there, you know, don't judge a book by a cover. A guy could be an artist. He could be a musician. He could be Southern California's largest drug dealer. I don't know, but either way, Carl, they wouldn't. I was on a heater, and they wouldn't let us leave the craps table. They wouldn't even let you leave the craps table.
Where's your boy going? What do you mean? What, are we on lockdown?
Craps is a superstitious game. You don't want to monkey around with the mojo. So I think you and I don't want the IRS if they're listening. We made a considerable amount of loot, but this guy was playing like it was. I think he was doing like 500, 2,500, 500, you know, 6,500 behind the line. Whatever 5-1 was, 3,000 behind the line.
He kept going up. The thing I remember about that is it's Dukes and Bell. Is once we bailed, you literally go, I'm going to Guns N' Roses. And I was like, what? And you were like, I'm going to go get tickets.
I wouldn't drop you don't want to know how much I dropped on Guns. I sat by myself at
that
Guns N' Roses.
That was their first show at T-Mobile.
The first opening weekend of Guns N' Roses reunited. Right. And there was an Irish couple. They come all the way from Dublin. The lady was hysterical. She's like, I figured we better buy the tickets now. We don't know when they'll break up again. So I literally got hammered. I think you were out with some friends and That's right. I was alone to see Guns N' Roses.
You were like, I'm going to get Guns N' Roses. And I'm like, all right.
Great show.
That was a crazy. But those guys, imagine, and again, we don't want to cast aspersions, as Mike said, but imagine like three monster dudes going, y'all ain't leaving the table.
With a dude literally named Tiny that was like 400 pounds that had the bag money. He had the money. I venture a guess he was also the weed man? But anyway.
I'm going to tell you this. They were begging somebody to try to rob them. I will say that, okay? That's what they were. Those cats were like, we dare somebody to try to take this bag from
us. You know how Major League Baseball players wear those ridiculous chains? Like six. These guys had that and nobody was going to say. Who's going to take it from? The guy's like, I'm trying to figure out what he looked like. You know what I want to say? He looks like Sterling Marte, last night in center, but a big like 6'5" version.
That's a good call.
He was a big dude. The whole crew was big.
It's been a minute, but I remember. I just remember the faces, man, because they were all serious.
Serious.
And then I'm sitting there and I'm like, why are these cats so serious? And then I realized how much he was betting.
Serious as a heart attack.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, we're not getting political, but it is funny because we love the Godfather. Governor Cuomo, everybody's going over his stuff now with the fine-tooth comb. His allegations of sexual harassment and misconduct have come to light. Apparently back in 06, and in a New York Times Magazine article, Carl, he says, I loom over the table. In the people in the room's mind, I'm Sonny Corleone, and I'm capable of anything.
Wow. He called himself Sonny Corleone?
Well, if ever now you could call his brother on CNN Fredo, you've just been given the opening by his bro.
Yeah.
Anyway, all this stuff's coming out as people are they're getting under his fingernails, but that made me laugh. And for those who don't follow the reference or millennials who haven't seen the movie yet, nothing wrong with it. It's a long movie. But anytime you have that idiot brother or moron in your crew, that's a Fredo.
Mike, it was, yeah. And Mike, it was on the other day. And you know, it's such a long movie, but I've seen it like you tons of times.
Right.
And I turn it on, and it's the part where he's in Vegas and he says,
Mike,
you're my brother and I love you, but don't ever go against the family.
It's one of the great scenes. Oh. Mike, you don't come to Las Vegas and talk to a man like Mo Green like that.
Yeah, man.
So just sit through it, guys. DVR it, and it's worth a shot. It's still one of our touchstones for us. Hey, Chris, if I get time for one more, if I got to do closing bell. All right, real quick, Carl, great story. We love octane and caffeine, or caffeine and octane. When people go and have like a good time showing off their cars, usually in front of like a coffee shop or a shopping mall, right? It's fun. Here in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well, what happened last week in Dallas, not so fun for one individual. And apparently their version of, I don't know what it was called, but it was a car collector's meeting. So it probably was like a octane and caffeine where guys get together on a Saturday or Sunday. It was at the Village on the Green Mall. I don't know if you know Dallas like you know Houston, but
no,
I presume it's...
That may be a new area. I'm not familiar with that.
It doesn't say where in Dallas. It just says it's a nice upscale shopping mall. Anyway, a bunch of guys, everything from Ferraris, the new Corvettes, Lamborghinis are on display. And apparently, one guy had a Lamborghini Aventador 2013.
Ooh.
And at some of these, when you have guys that have got some extra loot in their pocket, some guys, it's like a swap meet. Somebody might want to make you an offer on your car, right?
Yeah, it happens.
Well, Jeff Jennison was talking. He's the owner of the 2013 black Lamborghini Aventador, which goes anywhere from $250,000 and higher, depending on the mileage, according to the article. There was a man who he introduced himself. He got out of a brand new Corvette, Carl, and he introduced himself as Donald Bridges. Had a driver's license and gave a credit card that said, "So I'll go take the car for a test ride." He never came back.
Fake name, fake car.
Yes. And now, according to the Texas Safety, what do they call them? Department of Highway Safety?
Yeah,
apparently,
yeah.
He was wearing a disguise, and the beard that he was wearing matched the driver's license. They don't know who this guy is, and he got away scot-free with $250,000 car.
Now, you know what? Here's the deal. He knew that they had been meeting there, because they probably meet there frequently. He scoped it out, and then they roll up, and they flaunt like they've got big-time cash. And then this guy's like, here's my black card. Let me take it for a spin. I'll be damned, Mike. So he got away with the car, and they don't know where the car is.
Right. And I guess, wouldn't you ride shotgun in the car? I mean, I guess these guys everybody was being cool and everything, and they thought it was cool. But apparently he hung around, lingered, talked to the owner, other people, and everyone presumed he was legit.
And
it turns out that the Corvette that they were in was also stolen.
Well, I was going to say, because that way you couldn't track whoever was in that Corvette, because even people took pictures.
Man, talk about a heist, man. I mean, I'm not saying you should do that, but they got to at least give some credit for ingenuity.
So here's the deal, though. And I know people are like, well they're going to sell it and the VIN numbers and all that. They'll sell that on the black market and still make a ton of money.
Yeah, I mean, or it'll wind up in Dubai, right?
Right.
Good luck tracking it, I guess. I don't know. Anyway,
I had some friends, real quick, I got to mention this to your point. When I was growing up, I met some guys, and I've told this story to a few people, but very few. Now I'm sharing it with this audience. They used to do just that. They would take steel cars, and then they would take the parts. And the bottom line is,
chop shop.
And you would, these cars would disappear faster than you could blink an eye. And it was amazing to me how they made money. And that's 30 years ago, 25 years ago.
Right.
So I can only imagine now how this thing moves.
I know that that episode of The Sopranos, they're on their way, you know, somewhere, usually to Eastern Europe or the Middle East or wherever. Hey, man, speaking of investments, let's hit the closing bell. All right, boys and girls, 2 days away from tax day, and it's brought to you by our buddies over at Alliance Tax Solutions, your Atlanta-based tax resolution firm. Visit AllianceTaxSolutions.com. Alliance will get you straight, especially business owners, man. Carl, you don't get no loans if you're not right with the IRS. Hey, man, Al Green's got a birthday today. Oh, sorry, I moved on without even telling you what the market did. Dow Jones is down 68. S&P 500 was up 13. NASDAQ was up 146. It adds 1% as stocks shake off the bad news about the vaccine. So a mixed day and trading on Wall Street. Today is, as I said, the 13th. Birthdays today. R&B man Al Green is 75. Let's stay together.
Let's stay together.
Peabo Bryson is 70.
Peabo. Wow. I didn't think. Well, I guess so. Yeah, I'm thinking that. Last time I thought about Peabo Bryson. Yeah, that makes sense.
Hey, 70. Ron. Yeah, Ron Perlman is 71, played Hellboy, of course, Sons of Anarchy, amongst other roles that he's done. Beauty and the Beast for you older folks. Also, Ricky Schroeder, champ, wake up, champ. He's 51 today, also of Silver Spoons. Bo Outlaw is 50, one of my favorite names in the NBA. Baron Davis is 42. Thomas Jefferson, born on this day. Guy Fawkes, also born. The mask you see, the anonymous people wearing, that goes back to England. It's a long read up on it. Tiger wins his first Masters, Carl, on this day in 97.
I know. It was magical. And he ran away with that thing, Mike. Ran away with it.
Guess what else happened on this day in 1970?
What's that?
Houston, we have a problem. Oh. This is when the oxygen tank blows up. And Jim Lovell and Swaggart, they got to go get back to Earth. It all happened today, that day, 1970. A lot of stuff on Guy Talk.
Man, coming up, Falcons sign a tight end. What's it mean? And why are they going to see Justin Fields again? It's next in the Falcon Report.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.